Hallelujah. Real quick, as most of you know, we're in a sermon series called Incredible Faith. Amen?
Amen.
We're dealing with faith and the importance of us in our faith. Real quick, while you're on your feet, one quick verse. We'll be in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 32. Real quick, it says, "Then David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.'" If you don't mind, shake three people's hand, tell them, "I ain't scared of a fight."
I ain't scared of a fight.
Yeah, three people's hand, "I ain't scared of a fight." Yes. I ain't scared of a fight. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. It was in 1990, February the 11th. In Tokyo, Japan, the undisputed and undefeated heavyweight champion of the world was Mike Tyson, and he was scheduled to fight Buster Douglas. Iron Mike Tyson was 37-0 at the time of this fight. I was only 7 years old, but I remember this like it was yesterday. I had witnessed plenty of people going over my grandma's house. We would crowd around the kitchen table and the TV and see Mike knock people out like 90 seconds. Yeah, Mike wasn't a joke. But it was Buster Douglas, who was the sixth best ranked heavyweight at this time in the world. This fight was seen as a tune-up for Evander Holyfield. Mike was supposed to beat Buster and move on to Evander Holyfield. Mike Tyson was a 42-1 favorite. Now, I'm not a Vegas bet man, so I don't know what 42-1 is. I had to look it up. 42-1 means that if you was going to bet on this fight, if you put $4,200 on Mike Tyson, all you would get was $100. That's low. But if you put $100 on Buster, you would get $4,200, is how much Mike was favored to win this fight. So it appeared that everyone that Mike fought before was scared of him. Mike would get in there, do his thing, knock you out. Wasn't nobody going past 4 or 5 rounds. Some of them wouldn't even go past 90 seconds. So what people didn't realize, though, with Buster, though, Buster had a couple issues going on. Number one, his mom was sick. His mom was sick unto death. In fact, she died 23 days before the fight. And one thing he told his mom, he said, "My mom promised you I'm going to beat Mike Tyson." So it was a promise he made to his mama. So we go through the fight. It's going back and forth. It goes to the ninth round. Mike Tyson has never been in a fight that long. Mike throws the uppercut and knocks Buster down. Everybody thinks it's over. Fight's over. Mike throws the uppercut. The uppercut sends boys' heads off. It knocks people out. Buster miraculously gets up from this fight and goes on to the 10th round. It's in the 10th round. Buster throws a nasty four piece and knocks Mike completely out. Something that nobody thought could happen. Mike Tyson, the champion, went down. And the reason he went down, because Buster wasn't scared of a fight. Yeah, we have a real devil that believes he can beat us up, jack us up, punk us, and move us. But I need some people that believe they ain't scared of a fight and tell the devil, "He can't have me, you can't have my family, you can't have my mind, you can't have my body, you can't have none of those things. I'm not scared to fight." But we must be careful how we move, because I can't beat you by myself. I need God to fight my battles for me. Because the Bible is clear that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down the stronghold. So we don't use worldly weapons to fight, but we use God to fight for us. Amen. So I got to give you some pretext so you can respect the context of this scripture, what's going on. The Philistines and the Israel have been fighting each other for hundreds of years. There's been beef, and right now it's at an all-time high. They've been beefing with each other for hundreds of years. But now the Philistines are feeling good because they feel they got the advantage now. Why? Because they have a man named Goliath. Goliath, in verses 4 through 7, Goliath is the Philistines' champion. It says he is 6 cubits in height. That in our terms is 9 feet 9 inches. Yeah, that means he's 2 feet and 8 inches tall than Shaquille O'Neal. It's a big brother. And in fact, he's so big, he has a bronze armor on and a bronze helmet. Check it out. It weighs 125 pounds. So he carries around an extra 125 pounds on him, prepared for battle. Not only that, he has a spear that weighs 15 pounds. So this brother's so big and so strong, he's carrying 140 pounds extra weight to do battle in. He's a big guy, so he comes around, he says, "Look here, this is what we're going to do. We ain't doing the whole army things. Y'all pick one person, fight me, and I'll fight him. Whoever wins, they become our slave." That's what it's going to be. I don't have no time for playing. Look at the text. In verse 10, it says this, "And the Philistine said, 'I defy the armies of Israel this day, and give me a man that we may fight together.' When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Notice his language. He defied the armies of Israel, the armies of God's chosen people. He defied them, which means he discredited them. He talked about them. He rebuked them. And these are the same people that a couple chapters back, God just gave him the victory over the Amalekites. That same Saul that's scared and all pacified, he was the king, and he gave him the victory over the Amalekites. But now he's afraid. All of Israel are scared. It trips me out, because if the leader is full of fear, the people ain't got no hope. Yeah, if the leader's scared and can't move on, what are the people going to do? If I, as a pastor, don't have enough faith to believe God will bless you, will save you, and deliver you, and do miraculous things in your life, what hope is anybody going to have if I don't have any faith? What hope is people going to have that don't know Christ? You as a Christian, they don't know Christ and see you hopeless and out and down rotten. How are they going to have any faith to believe God can do what he does? See, we have to have faith that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. And check this out. We have faith. Whatever we also must be leaders in what? In our jobs. Amen. People are watching us and seeing how we move. But most importantly, we have to be leaders in our own home. Yeah. Because if we don't have faith, how will our children have faith? Yeah, if I don't move in a certain way, how can they move? So we must realize at all times, regardless of what your position is, if you were a Christian, you were a leader. Amen. Yeah, so with the war going on now, Jesse, who was David's father, had 8 sons. And the youngest being David, who was anointed to be king, is at home because the youngest of the boys was not at war. All the older sons were at war. So David, check this out, was a skilled harp player. He was a musician. David played the harp. And every time Saul, the king, had an evil spirit with him, he would call David and say, go get David for me. He would play the harp, and the evil spirit would leave Saul because of David's harp playing ability. That's amazing to me. I ain't got time to go into this, but check it out. He had an evil spirit in him. David played an instrument, and the evil spirit left him. Why? Because David was a man after God's own heart. So if an evil spirit can be played out of somebody because their heart is right, can an evil spirit be played into somebody if their heart is wrong? Yeah, I ain't coming for y'all music today. It's cool. It's cool. But think about that. Think of how deep that is, that he was able to play it because his heart right with God, the evil spirit left him. So Saul likes David. And see, Jesse is worried about his older sons now because they're at war. As any good parent would be, I would be wondering what's going on if my kids were at war. So he gives David, he said, look here, go and get some cheese and some grain. Take this to your brothers. Check on them and give them a report to me. So I like this in verse 20 right here. It says, so David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he had came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for battle. I love this right here. Why? We see David. We know 2 things about David early in his life. Guess what? He's obedient and he's responsible. Yeah. He's obedient and responsible. He rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper. David didn't neglect his responsibility just because his daddy gave him new orders. Yeah. We tell our children to take out the trash, they ain't washing dishes. We tell them to vacuum, they ain't going to sweep. They don't know how to follow multiple instructions. They don't know, listen to my house. Maybe our kids are all good and do everything. My kids, I tell them one thing, they forgot everything else I said. How do you forget everything? David gets up early. He follows his daddy's instructions. He does 2 things. He goes and leaves the sheep with the keeper, and then he goes to his brothers. Obedience and being responsible get you to the best place. Yeah, you got to learn how to be obedient and then be responsible for what God has given to you. Because once I'm responsible, that means God can trust you and I'm willing to give you more. Yeah. So I love this. David is responsible and obedient. So he's going to see his brothers. And it says, and David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. So David rose up on his brothers. He's happy. I ain't seen my bros. They at war. What's up? Y'all good? How y'all feeling? Brothers, how mama doing? How daddy doing? I'm checking on everybody. I got some grain for y'all. And then while he's sitting there, the champion, the Philistine, Goliath, is saying the same words that he's been saying to them, defying the armies of God. And it trips me out when I read this, because as I'm reading this, God hit me in my spirit. This is something I learned in my walk with the Lord. It says, look, that he was spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. This lets me know the devil, guess what? The devil doesn't come up with any new tricks because the old ones work. Yeah, the devil don't usually come up with new schemes. Why? Because the old ones seem to work on us. The same champion been standing there saying the same thing 40 days have passed, y'all. Every day he coming out saying the same thing. The devil is keeping them, and they're paralyzed with fear because of the same word he spoke. The devil keeps sending that same person to you. Why? Because you keep falling for the same trap. He keeps sending that same person. They might look a little different, but they carry the same spirit. She might look a little different, but she carry the same spirit. That person that always come around at the right time, but the wrong time. The right time, excuse me, but the wrong idea. They there when you need them, and you need something, but they got the wrong idea to try to make something happen. So the devil keeps using these same people. Why? Because if you've shown a weakness in that area, I'm going to keep sending that weakness till you defeat it.
Yeah.
If you show you weak here, I'm going to keep giving it to you and giving it to you right here because I know, I feel I can defeat you. And it trips me out because what started off as something we thought was easy and able to get over to when we were 16, now we 32. See, it was small when we were 16. We thought it was nothing. This is just life. I'm living my life. Now I'm 32 and I'm still faced with them same issues. So what was small is now a giant in my life called Goliath. The Bible tells us in verse 24 that if you're following along in your Bible, that the men of Israel, when they saw him, they fled. They were dreadfully afraid. The best visual I can give you is probably when Debo was on his bike. When Debo's rolling through Friday and everybody tucking in their chains and Debo, he coming, they hiding their money and hiding everything. Goliath got everybody shook out there. Nobody want no smoke with Goliath. It got so bad that Saul, who is the king, puts up a reward. He says, if anybody's able to defeat this giant, I'm going to make sure his father don't have no taxes. I'm going to give him some of my kingdom and he can marry my daughter. You know you scared you giving up. I'm not giving up my babies just to anybody just because you can fight. You know he's shook, he's scared. He's willing to give up his daughter in marriage to whoever can defeat this giant. So it is bad over there. It's all kind of bad going on in Israel right now. And I love this that it says this. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him saying, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine? And take away the reproach from Israel, for who is the uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Ooh, I love David's response right there. I love it right there. David, he inquires about the bounty on his head. Then he asks the question, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that y'all let him talk crazy to y'all? Yeah. See, David knew who he was. And half the problem, we don't get the victory like we should. We don't know who we are. David knew he was a Jew. David knew he was circumcised and had the problem through Abraham. David knew he was a servant of the Most High God. David knew. So my question is, why let people discourage you? And they don't even know who you are. Or could it be because we don't know who we are? We allow them to discourage us. I mean this with all humility. And maybe nobody has told you this. So I want to make sure I tell you this. You are somebody.
Amen.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe nobody's ever spoken it over in your life. But you are somebody. You are important to God. You are important to me. You are important. You have a purpose and a destiny in your life. And because somebody may not have spoken those words to you, you don't believe it. But see, but when you know who God is, it's easy to find out who you are. Why? Because I'm made in the image of God.
Yeah.
I know my father owns a cattle on 1,000 here. Yeah. If he owns that, why am I worried about rent?
Amen.
Yeah. I know I'm a joint heir with Christ. I mean, I am a kingship. I am a king. So guess what? When I realize I'm a child of the Most High and I know that I'm royalty, I act like it.
Yeah.
When I know I'm royalty, I act like I'm royalty. You can't just tell me anything. You can't just give me anything. No. I am royalty. I am a king. I am a queen. God has called me with a purpose. Greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. God has given me a purpose. I am somebody. So once I realize I am God who God called me to be, I should act like it. Yeah. I love this because David has already took the position on the matter at hand. That I can do something about this. And look at what happens now once David made up his mind. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard what he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger arose against David. And he said, why do you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? The oldest brother tripping. Why are you down here? Who watching them few sheep you got? I'm at war. What's up with them few sheep trying to belittle David's job? Older bro is tripping. Why is he so mad? That's Daniel's favorite statement. Why are you so mad? He wanna know why is he so mad? And he's angry. Why? Because he knows the oldest is supposed to get the blessing. But something happened last chapter. Yeah, yeah. The oldest didn't get the blessing. See, Saul, King Saul, who's afraid, see, he disobeyed God again. And we got to be careful. Sometimes disobedience got a high price, y'all.
Yeah.
And he disobeyed God again. And God said, look, I done told you don't do it again. You done did it again. Now I'm done with you. So God says, you know what? I'm taking the kingdom from you. God still let him be king, but he took the kingdom. He took the kingdom from him. So God said, I'm going to anoint someone else to be king. That's a scary thing to me because it trips me out that God can leave you in the position, but take away the anointing. That means I can still have my title. I can still think I'm somebody, but God ain't with me no more. That's scary. God let him be king, but God said, I'm picking up a new king. Matter of fact, he said, I'm picking a man that's better than you. Is what God told Saul. So God sent Samuel the prophet on his way. He said, look here, this guy Jesse, king coming out of his house. I need you to go to Jesse's house and anoint my next king. So real quick, I'm going to back up one chapter. In 1 Samuel 16, it says this. So it was when they came and he looked at Eliab, the brother that was tripping, and said, this is Samuel talking to the prophet. Surely the Lord anointed it before him. This got to be the man. He's strong. He's tall. He the oldest. This got to be the one. And verse 7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Woo! Y'all miss y'all shout. The oldest is there. He got all the muscles. He's strong. He look like he got it going on. Samuel the prophet, he'll hear from God. No, I hear God. He said, next king here, it got to be this boy right here. He the oldest. He's strong. And God says, I don't look how y'all look.
Amen.
You look on the outward, but I look at the heart. See, this text already shows that Eliab got some issues already. He's already tripping. Something wrong with his heart. And you can tell how he went off on David when David came down just to see how his brother was doing and following his daddy's instructions. But this is why I love God, because he don't see us how man sees us. Man sees a prostitute, but God sees a prophetess. Man sees a drug dealer, but God sees a deacon. Man sees a pimp or a player, but God sees a pastor. I love God. Why? Because he don't look at us how man does. He don't look at, he sees the worst in you and says, I can make that better. He sees the worst in you and says, I can meet you in your needs. I see your heart. It might not be where it needs to be now, but if you give it to me, I'll do something with it. God is awesome like that. He don't look at us how man does. Is anybody excited but me that God looked upon your sin and said, I forgive you? You're forgiven. I know it was wrong. I know it was messed up. I know that hurt you. I know the devil tricked you. But guess what? I love you. And if you just come to me, I'll do something with your life. So God sees the heart. So big brother, check this out. You wonder why he tripping on David. Think about this. It's time to anoint the king. And big bro had to sit there and see it wasn't him. And his seven other brothers, is eight of them. So he's sitting there waiting turn by turn to see who the king was. It got to the point that Samuel went through all the sons and like, hey, this all the sons you got? I know God sent me here, but is this all of them? And then the daddy checked this out, so cold blood. He said, I got one in the back, David, but he the little one. He the runner of the bunch, and he tended to the sheep. You don't want him? Samuel said, nah, bring them all here. We ain't going to sit down until everybody come. So then David comes forth from out tending the sheep, doing what his job, doing what he was supposed to be doing. I love God real quick because if you just doing what you're supposed to be doing, that's how God know he can use you.
Yeah.
He ain't looking for somebody. I was like, use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. No, he ain't always looking for that. Somebody sitting there minding their business, doing what they're supposed to be doing. And he calls forth David. And God said, this is the one. So Saul anoints the youngest one to be the next king of Israel. So big brother had to sit there and watch little bro get anointed. He still got that anger in his heart. You can tell by his words on the battlefield. So big bro knows this. Check this out. Big bro is mad at him, but he knows his brother's anointed to be the next king of Israel. So instead of embracing the destiny of his brother, he'd rather abnegate God's providence, which means he's disdained at God's providence. He don't even want it to come forth. He's mad and upset. So he tries to belittle David in the people's eyes. And look at the text. As we see it, he told him, look here, go tend your sheep. Go do this. Why are you here? Because daddy sent me here. What you mean, why am I here? Who you leave them few sheep with? The keeper. Why come you can't appreciate me? Why you gotta hate on me? Appreciate, don't hate. It trips me out. How do you know? Something my heart is with pride. He says your heart is filled with pride. But how do you know what's in my heart?
Yeah.
I came down here to check on y'all. I came here to do a good deed. But now you're telling me my heart is full of pride? Be careful. when people want to make you believe something about yourself that ain't true. That's a mouthful right there. Be careful when people want you to believe something about yourself that you know is not true. This is manipulation going on right here. He's trying to make David second guess why he came down here. Is something wrong with me? Am I prideful? No, I'm following daddy's instructions. So David goes down, and then he makes this bold proclamation about the giant. He says, look here, I don't want to hear this no more. Look at verse 32. He makes this bold proclamation. Let no man fail you. My heart is a servant. Your servant will go and fight the Philistine. Who is this? Is Philistine that defied the armies of God is what David's asking. So then Saul hears about this bold proclamation, and he says this. Look at verse 33. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. David quit being scared because of him, because you're his servant. David, you can't fight this man. He's a man of war since his youth. You are but a youth. All the grown men are scared of him. Everybody is scared of the giant, but David. But David is willing to step out on faith and go and fight. Why? Because he defied the armies of God. Yeah, all these grown men are scared to death. Think about this. These are all grown men. 40 days he's been talking crazy. Ain't nobody feeling froggy. Don't nobody want to jump. 40 days talking crazy. Who gonna fight me? Who gonna fight me? Ain't nobody saying nothing. And then a teenage boy, most scholars believe David to be 15 at this time. A teenage boy comes up and steps up and says, you know what? I'll go and do it. This is why you must see yourself created in the image of God. Because certain battles, you're right, you can't win. Certain battles, you're not equipped to handle. But when I know who got my back and who's inside of me, it gives me the confidence to take on these battles. So why does he get to be a man? Check this out. Saul tried to discourage David before the battle. You a youth. You're too young to be out here, boy. What are you doing? He's a man of war since his youth. But why does he get to be a man of war of his youth just because he can fight? Yeah, right. Why am I considered a boy because of the battles I went through? Just because my battles don't look like his don't mean mine were any smaller. Yeah, some things you went through, I might not have been through, but don't minimize my struggle. They still was a struggle for me. We quick to do that, especially in the black community. You don't know what I've been through, and you ain't been through this, and you ain't been. I might not have been exactly through that, but I've experienced some hurt. I've experienced some pain. I've experienced some heartache. Just because you got this experience, don't minimize my experience. I still had to deal with it and get through it too. So David said, look here, don't minimize my struggle because you don't know who I am and who God called me to be. Let me let you know what I've been through real quick. Check out what David tells him. Look at this. I'm too fast. Here we go. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took the lamb out the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from his mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard. I struck it and I killed it. I know I look like a little boy to you. I get that. But that don't mean I ain't got no experience in war. Yeah. I know most men haven't took on a lion or a bear. He ain't saying if they grown or not, but I don't care if it's a full dog one or not. A lion and a bear is a lion and a bear. I don't care what size they are. He went and after it took his sheep, he could have said, you know what, daddy, sheep gone. I tried. I whistled. Didn't nothing happen. So he went and said, you know what, I'm going to go after my sheep. I'm going to go after it with the club and the bear. And he striked it and killed it. He took it from his mouth. David is letting Saul know that I'm not scared of a fight. See, before I go any further, can I encourage you? See, sometimes in life you got to go after it.
Amen.
Yeah. You can't wait for it to get there too. You had this conversation with my son yesterday with flag football. Sometimes the pass ain't going to be perfect. Sometimes it's going to be a little bit short. So you either stand there and wait until it gets to you, or you're going to miss the catch or somebody might intercept it. Sometimes you're on defense and they coming. You can either stand there and wait, or you can go after them and get the flag. So David lost the sheep. He could have stood there and wait, but God told him, no, go after the sheep. See, some things in your life are not going to land in your lap.
Amen.
You wait for it to be a perfect day, to be a sunny day, sky, rainbow, everything's good. It don't always work like that. It's in that mud. It's when you go, when we say go get it from the mud, it's when we go get it from the mud, and it's hard, and it's a grind, and I got to use everything I got. I got some sleepless nights. I got some hard days. Sometimes I got to cry myself to sleep, but I got to wake up in the morning and pray. It's those times where I got to go after it, and God is like, yes, that's what I'm talking about. I know I can use you because you're willing to go after something. It ain't always going to land in your lap. Sometimes you got to go after that lion and go after that bear. Yes. We want it. We want it so bad. We think, but when it's time to go, we don't want to go. Amen. So David says, look here. I know. I ain't no big old man. He 9 feet. I'm 5'2". I know that. I get all that. But I fought some lions and some bears in my life. And I was willing to die behind that. Now you got somebody that's defying God. I'm even more willing to fight. So some things in your life, check this out, you can defeat it and move on. Yeah, some things you can just defeat it and move on and it works out perfect like that. But there are some spirits that won't accept defeat. Yeah, it's some spirits that say, you know what, I ain't going down without a fight. And guess what, you cannot just beat up that spirit. You gotta kill it. Yeah, you gotta put it to death. Because if not, it's going to keep resurrecting in your life. Jesus even said this. He said, when a spirit casts out and it leaves a man, it goes to and here and fro, and it goes nowhere, and it can't find no rest. And then it goes back to where it came, and it see now the house is all swept and clean. It says, now we're going back inside this thing, and this time I'm bringing 7 more wicked spirits with me. Some spirits are so wicked, they don't accept defeat easily. So you cannot just defeat them. You got to kill them. Sometimes you gotta kill relationships. Sometimes you gotta kill certain people out your life. Sometimes you gotta kill certain things that defy his name. You got to kill it, because if you don't, guess what? Its main objective is to kill you. Goliath ain't come to play with nobody. This giant come to kill and destroy. That giant in your life coming to kill and destroy. You gotta be prepared to fight and fight it through God. So look at what David's still dealing with Saul. He said, look here, your servant has both killed the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who had delivered me from the paw of the lion. Y'all ain't want to shout today. It's cool. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of a lion. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine. So Saul said to David, go and let the Lord be with you. Y'all won't have church with me. It's cool. It's cool. Y'all won't have church. David was delivered from the paw of a lion. I don't like looking at the lions in the zoo too long. A paw of a bear, God delivered him. So he knew, if God did this for me, now he can deliver me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. Okay, let me say it way you can feel it. He learned this. If God did it before, he can do it again. Ah. Yeah. The same God that led Moses to the Red Sea was the same God that was going to give them the promised land. The same God that delivered David from the lion and the bear is the same God that was going to deliver him from the Philistine. The same God that delivered me from my cold is the same God that can heal me from cancer. Y'all missed that. Just because the problem gets bigger don't make my God no smaller. No, baby, no. God is still God no matter what's going on. He's God and he reigns on the throne. Our little mind tends to think because the problem gets bigger, my God gets weaker. No, baby, no. If the problem gets bigger, my God gets greater. Y'all ain't want to have church with me today. We got to know that God has come to give us deliverance. David is willing to fight on this giant, y'all. Everybody shook. So look at this. So he didn't came with such a convincing speech. Saul first said, you know what? You too little. You can't fight this giant. Now Saul's saying, go and let the Lord be with you. He didn't convince them. You didn't God and did all that. You fought a lion and a bear. You might have a shot. So Saul, in his wisdom, he said, look here. Saul clothed David with his armor and put a bronze helmet on his head. He clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened the sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk in these, for I have not tested them. So David took it off. So after David lays down this cold demonstration, gives him point after point after point why he's qualified to fight this giant. Now Saul says, look, if you're going to do the battle, then you need the king's armor. So he gives him the king's armor. He tried to dress David in his armor, but what Saul forgot was that David was already anointed to be the king. Yeah. Even though he didn't have a crown and an armor don't mean God didn't prepare him for this fight.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. David is an average sized boy. All that weight you trying to put on him, he could not walk. It was not God's will for him to be in Saul's armor. Okay, maybe you feel this. Anybody like the Avengers movies? Anybody? Endgame just came out, but before that, Infinity War came out. And Iron Man and Spider-Man are like real close in the movies, you know what I mean? That's like his little protege. And he got him a suit. He told him in the Spider-Man movie, if you can't do this without the suit, you don't deserve to have it. So Spider-Man had to fight without the suit, so he's building a new suit. But now the fight's going on. They're going into space. He's on a bus. Spider-Man says, make a distraction for me so I can leave. He goes. He fights. Spider-Man ends up on this big old spaceship. Now Spider-Man is going through. Now he's getting lifted up so high in the air he can't breathe. He has on a suit that fits him, but he can't breathe in the suit he gets. Iron Man is coming. He says, Peter, I need you to let go. I need you to trust me. He said, it's too high. Mr. Strait said, no, I need you to trust me. I got something for you. So as he sends him another suit that comes up, a new suit comes up. It's called the Iron Spider suit. It comes up and Spider-Man falling down, it puts on his life. He gets in it and now he can breathe and maneuver through space. And what trips me out is that Spider-Man idolized Iron Man. He didn't know he had a suit with iron in it, but the suit was made for Spider-Man, not Iron Man. So if Iron Man tried to operate in that suit, he wouldn't have been able to do it. He don't have web shooters. He can't swing. He can't do these things. Even though Iron Man made the suit, it was designed for Spider-Man. But if he had gave Spider-Man an Iron Man suit, Spider-Man might not have been able to make it. So what I'm saying is that God has an armor that is designed for you. Some of y'all carrying other people's baggage. And amen for you to walk in. Y'all carrying other people's suits. That's what wasn't meant for you to carry. And you trying to walk in and now you stuck. It's like you in quicksand. You stuck in the mud and can't get 1 foot forward and 1 foot back. You moving and you stuck in and you moving and you shaking. Why? Because that's it. That suit wasn't made for you. I love that. Some of us trying to live out our daddy's dreams. Our mama's dreams. What about yours? Maybe God didn't give y'all the same dream. But because you stuck trying to live out their dreams, you trying to put on their armor and it ain't working out for you.
Right.
You can't move how you need to move. You can't operate how you need to operate. Why? Because you're stuck in their vision. See, incredible faith requires for us to trust God in every ability that he gave us. See, I'm trying to help somebody because when you arise and walk in the armor that God has called you, you will be able to take off what don't belong to you. You're able to move forward in a way you never thought you could. Look at verse 40. Then he took his staff. It's after David took off the armor. He chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch, which he had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. See, we got to have incredible faith and confidence. He said, I don't need that armor. Give me some stones, a slingshot, and a shepherd's bag. I'm Gucci. I don't need all that. I'm good. I need to work with what I know how to work with. So what that made me think. Are we comfortable in our own skin? Or do we want to look cool in our own clothes? Are you comfortable in your skin, who God created you to be? Or you just want to look cool in clothes? Because looking cool in clothes will only get you so far. But when I'm comfortable in my skin that I'm in, I can go to the highest heights and be what God has called me to be. It don't matter. See, David knew Saul's armor wasn't for him. I got to go with what I know. I know God called me to be a pastor. I know that with all my heart. But I ain't got the church hymn background. I don't know the church hymn book. Don't know it at all. I'm sorry. I wasn't raised like that. Don't know the church hymn book. Don't know a hymn, though. I like Christian rap music. I love contemporary worship music. That's me. But that don't mean that I don't cool with some of the old stuff, too. That don't mean that I don't believe holiness is still right. That God has set you free. That God has delivered you. That Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection is the only way to him. That don't mean I don't believe none of the old stuff. But guess what? That is not my armor. Yeah. I believe in righteousness. I believe being obedience and blessings, and that brings favor. I believe all that. But wearing a 3-piece suit ain't my armor.
Amen.
I'm preaching a t-shirt and some J's. That's my armor. If I try to be somebody else, God can't use me. God don't need a duplicate of nobody. If I'm going to follow anybody, Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So you should be following me just as I follow Christ, not with a certain type of armor. The goal and the mission is to follow Christ. So if you're going to be a Xerox or a carbon copy of anybody, be it of Jesus. It's cool to appreciate people, but don't emulate people.
Amen.
God don't need two of nobody. Without two of them, is nobody, and there's not one of you. So God needs you to be who he calls you to be. So David goes up to Goliath. He was mad. David steps out there with the shepherd's staff. He got the shepherd, he got the slingshot in the bag. Goliath mad now. Goliath been talking crazy for 40 days. He's like, y'all send a boy to fight me? A boy? All y'all punks, y'all send a little boy to come fight me. So then he gets mad at David. He said, look here. He starts cussing out David by his God. I'm cursing you by my God's names. Then he said, am I a dog? You come and fight me with a stick? I got a spear. I got a shield. I got armor. I got all these things. And you come and fight me like I'm a wild dog with a stick? So he's all mad. So David, check this out. As he began to curse his guys, this is what he says. Verse 44. Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the birds of the field. This is what Goliath tells David. This is like Old Testament Jonah, y'all. That was his best diss. You come to me, I'm going to give your flesh to the birds of the field and to the beasts. That was Goliath's this album right there. He gave it to him. He said, vultures are going to eat you and animals are going to eat you if you come to me. And David's response in verse 45, real quick, he says this. You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. So David's making a quick distinction. You came to me one way with your spear, with your shield and all that. But I come in the name of God who you defile. So look what David told him. This is David Jones right here, y'all. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. David ain't playing, y'all. And this day I will give your carcass of the camp to the Philistines, to the birds of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth. Then all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. So David said, you want to kill me? I'm going to one-up you. I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to take off your head. I'm about that action when it comes to my God. Why? Because you have disrespected my God.
Amen.
Now, I don't want us hurting nobody, killing nobody. Dang, not what Pastor's saying. No. Don't put me on. This is my disclaimer right here. Don't put me on in court on trial. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that when people disrespect your God, are you willing to stand up and defend him? Stand up and defend him, excuse me. When people are disrespectful and arrogant and showing no love or compassion to your God, are you willing to stand up and say something? It ain't got to be rude, it ain't got to be disrespectful, but hey, I don't get down like that. I'm a servant of the Most High God. You're not going to disrespect God in front of me. So David is upset because he's disrespecting God's armies. And verse 47 said, then all this assembly should know the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into our hands. Yeah, I miss y'all shout. It's cool, though. I'm going to do a shouting class as soon as we go to the new place. I'm going to get a shouting class. We're going to go through scripture by scripture. We're going to have a shout class. I'm going to teach y'all about that. It says, then all the assembly, which means everybody's going to be watching, Israel's and Philistines, everybody's going to be watching, and they're going to know that I see you with this sword and spear, but that ain't how the God saves. He going to save, but he going to give you into my hands. I get excited when I read this, but I know David must have read Deuteronomy chapter 20. And because he understands the reason I am not afraid to fight is because the battle is not mine, it's the Lord's. Yeah. God told Moses in Deuteronomy, read it in your spare time. He said, when you go into a battle and your enemies have more horses and more chariots than us, and when they got so many people and so many of them you can't even number, don't be afraid because the Lord is with you. Yeah, he told Moses, I know you're going through. I know you're going through a land. There's going to be some giants. It's going to be some issues. I know some giants going to come. They might apply some pressure on y'all. They might try to hurt y'all and hem y'all up. But none of that is matter. Why? Because the Lord is with you. I know you're going through this and that, but I dare you to trust me at my word. When you are on the verge of battles and your enemies are right there, don't let your heart be faint.
Amen.
Don't be afraid. Don't be tremble. And don't even be terrified. For the Lord God is with you. And he fights for you against your enemies to save you. God been saying that from the jump, y'all. That he's right there all the time. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. And don't be dismayed. That even though a camp surrounds about me, what? My heart should not know no fear. See, the thing is, God wants to show us is that he's there for our battles. We tend to fight our battles on our own all the time. All the time. Whatever the case may be. Sometimes it's with relationships, people, kids, whatever it is, we try to fight all our battles on our own. And God is saying, that's not how I want you to operate. Because you're my child, I love you, and I care about you, and I want to see the best for you. And I know what's best. My thoughts are not your thoughts, or my ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens against above the earth, as high as my thoughts are for you. God loves you and has a plan and a purpose for your life. So we must be willing to submit to his plan, because he uses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. Which means, check this out, God is so awesome. We know about the Titanic, right? The Titanic was the biggest and best ship ever built at that time. And what happened? It sank. But you mean to tell me some little bitty rowboats came up and saved them people? Some little bitty boats got safe to shore, but the biggest and strongest didn't make it? That's how God works. The biggest and strongest that think they don't need him, he ain't with that. He will use the small, and people think it ain't got nothing and have no way. And like, how did they get the victory? Because I'm with them. So God is with you. He wants to save you in battle. So real quick, and we almost to the end of this thing. So it was that the Philistine arose, came and drew near to meet David. And David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Remember, if David had on Saul's armor, he wouldn't have been able to run. Then David put his hands in his bag, took out a stone. He slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. And so that the stones sank into his forehead and he fell on the face of the earth. So David's running after him. He got his slingshot ready. He grabbed one of them five smooth stones and he throws it. Bang! Smacks him right in the forehead. Why did he have five? Did he not have faith in God? I don't think so. He's prepared for war. He probably thinking, like, he's so big and slow, I probably can get out five shots before he even get to me. So in case one miss, I got good aim. One of these five going to knock him. I ain't going 0 for 5. One of these ones going to knock him out. So David comes and he hits the giant and he falls to his death. So David made good on his promise. You know what he did? He had to cut the giant's head off. Why? Because I got to make sure that he's dead. See, some giants, we defeat them one time and they fall and we think we good. I defeated that giant. I ain't got to pray no more. I defeated that giant. I ain't got to come to church no more. I defeated that giant. I don't need God no more. I had a giant dead. I don't need no more. And because we refuse to cut that head off, that giant gets resurrected in our life. See, David wanted to make no mistakes. Today is the day the Lord has made and he has won. He has given me the victory. He has put you in my hand and I'm putting all the assembly on notice. You got to put all the assembly on notice in your life.
Amen.
That God has saved you, has fought this battle for you, that he has delivered you.
Amen.
And now I got the victory.
Amen.
Yeah. We need some victorious people in our life. This is it. And I'm getting ready to close. This is the law of victory. John Maxwell, who is one of the best, I believe, in our time, maybe of all time, writers on leadership. John Maxwell. If you never read any of his books or anything, John Maxwell, awesome on leadership. And in this text, he has something that said the seven laws were the laws of victory. And there's seven of them. I want to give them to you real quick before we shut this thing down. This is about David. His perspective differed from the others. Yeah. He didn't see what everybody else saw. Everybody else saw an invincible giant. They were scared. But David saw an incredible opportunity to please God.
Amen.
So is your perspective different from other people's? Two, his method differed from others. He decided to go with proven weapons that work. Saul's armor wasn't going to work for him. That sword and that spear wasn't going to work for him. But that stick and that slingshot and them rocks will work for him. What is your slingshot? Have you asked God what your slingshot is? D1, one of my favorite rappers, got an album called Slingshot David. And he talks about that God has given us all the talent and the ability. God, I don't know what your slingshot is, but you need to ask God, what are you into? What do you like? And whatever he's giving you as a slingshot is to knock down giants in his world. So what? Ask God, what is my slingshot? What is my weapon that will work, not the conventional ones? Number three, his convictions different from others. He recognized that Goliath had no covenant with God while he was committed to God. Do your convictions match the people in your circle? See, if I got a circle that's with me, I can't live like an angel and everybody live like a devil. That's hard. That's suicide. How am I going to try to live like God and everybody in my circle don't want to live like God? Oil and vinegar don't mix. So how am I going to make this thing mix when God ain't called for it to mix? I got to be different. I got to get outside that circle so they can see some difference. Yeah. Because if I'm in that circle with them and I'm in cahoots with them one minute I'm in, 1 minute I'm out, guess what? I have no power in my circle. Good. My circle got breaks in it. And God wants our circles to be strong. No matter how small they are or big they are, He wants them all to be strong. We're only as strong as the weakest link. So I need the weakest person to be able to be strong. Amen. Do your convictions match others? 4. His motives different from others. He heard Goliath's threat against God of Israel, but he knew God could beat him. My motives must be there. What is your motives? Is God leading your motives? Or am I leading my motives? Because the Bible says this is a way that seems right to a man, but his ways lead unto death. So it's the way in my own eyes that seemed right to me. It looked right. I should have it. But God said that way leads to death. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Yeah, so are my motives different? 5, his vision different from others. He wanted to make Yahweh known to everyone. I told you what he did. He said, I'm going to get this victory in the assembly of everybody. I want to make his name famous. Do I live to make his name famous on the earth? 6, his experience different from others. He bought to the battlefield past victories. David knew he had beat a lion and a bear. The other men were paralyzed by fear. So sometimes when life is beating you up and that giant's coming, you got to look back and say, if God did it before, he can do it again. Amen. You got to look back at that past victory. If God did this, he said he's faithful. Yeah. Why come he won't do this? And the last one, if you want to experience victory, his attitude was different from others. We don't realize how important our attitudes are. Our attitudes affect us so much. I can tell my kids, I can tell when you're going to have a bad day at school by your morning. Right. Anybody else kids like that? That little boy, love him with all my heart. But if he ain't right in the morning, I'm like, you need to focus. Whatever it is, get rid of it because you're going to have a bad day at school. Why? Just because your attitude. Right. If your attitude wrong at 8:55, it's going to be wrong at 3:55 too. Right. Get it together. So his attitude different from others. He saw Goliath not as a threat too big, but as a target too big to miss. Yeah. You must know what your attitude is. The glass half empty or half full? How do I look at this situation? If I believe God can do it, he'll do it. He might not do it on the time frame that I want it to be done. Amen. But that don't mean he won't do it. Right. So God is in the giant killing business, y'all. Thank you, Lord. He showed us through David. Even Noah had to deal with giants. Mm-hmm. God is showing us that he's in the giant killing business. And even though we don't physically fight giants no more, guess what giants he killed? God kills the giants of addiction. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a giant. And God's willing to kill that for you. He kills the giant of anger. Yeah. They try to rise up in him. He's willing to kill that for you. The giant of lust and perversion. He's willing to kill that for you. The giant of pride, thinking you too much. He's willing to kill that for you. The giant of depression.
Amen.
He's willing to kill that for you.
Yes, he is.
But you got to be willing to trust him to do it. Amen? Amen. Can we give God some praise in this place? Hallelujah. You better than that. Give God some praise for his goodness, his grace, his mercy.